Jesus is the Christ. Sometimes also I heard so so. Some of you will be dancing like so so. She is indeed the teacher of the messenger of the Sunday school. I was thinking that she was actually to Sharon, she was actually saying, praising the song. Sharon, Sharon. Then right next to her, then the pastor is like just calling her name. Then that's how we can actually deliver the message correctly to them, next generations. The Azov Gospel Church, then God really had this seminary school. We have the seminary students here. The first part is little about the theology related. So that for the rest of you will be also in the the seminary school. So it was about the Zechariah. Chapter 9 is Zechariah's prophesies that how that Jesus will be entering into the Jerusalem. And then Jesus, through the all the miracles, Jesus said certain things. Don't say anything to anyone about that I'm the Christ. Then finally, when he entered into the Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, and then that's how then everything was kind of revealed. Then when did he really, was it the time that he actually revealed himself that he is the Messiah? Why did he really come to us? So he really came for us for the sake of the spiritual restoration. Because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ is the one who can actually give us the spiritual restoration. That's it. That's all. Each one of us here, we should really restore the relationship with God. Then throughout all this Old Testament, then all the Christ was Messiah was really prophesied. Then he actually finished and accomplished as the Christ on the cross. And those who really believe in his name has really received the right to be the child of God. So that is the part that the how the Messiah, like Jesus, was actually prophesied. Then that was the beginning of the Passion Week. As we call it Passion Week in English. Passion. It's about the passion. Why we say about passion in English? Originally, the word is coming from the word passio. It's actually coming from the pain. He came for us to have the pain. But then people were actually shouting for hallelujah when he was entering to Jerusalem. That was Sunday. Monday, he actually went to the temple. Then he was actually angry. So house of God is the place where we give worship. However, you change this place of prayer into the business place. Because Jesus actually entered completely have the revolution. To the Pharisees, he scolded them. All of you are doing the satanic word, satanic thing. To Pharisees, that's what the Jesus actually had that message. To the Iscariot Judah actually betrayed Jesus. Then they had the Last Supper. And then Jesus actually went to climb to the Gethsemane. And pray, and then asking and praying to God, please remove this pain from me. However, he also prayed that may your will be fulfilled. Then on Friday, he was caught. And he died on the cross, and then he crucified, he resurrected on Sunday. So throughout the week, and he was actually having the ministry to restore the spirituality that Jesus, only Jesus Christ, is the mediator to really restore the spiritual things. Then I'll give you the theological quiz. Who knows this meaning? It's not English. Munus triplex. What does that mean? All of you know the content of this. It's just first time for you to see it. It's not Trinity. Three means three, right? What is that? What is it? That's why you have to enter into the theological seminary. Who knows this? Oh, she is indeed the theological student. Three offices of Christ. You know this, right? Theologically, munus triplex is what it means by the three offices of Christ. King, priest, prophet, they did the same thing. They actually was the mediator between God and human. The true prophet, but Jesus Christ came as a true prophet. The prophet's job is to really relay this exact God's word to the people. God will put the word of God in the mouth of the prophet, and he has to just declare it. Then he actually reveal who God is, what God is, what is the will of God to you. What is the most important prophecy is that the Messiah is what's coming. So Messiah will come to save you. That was the prophecy that had been really given continually. In the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, that God will send you the Messiah to save you. Then in the New Testament, then everyone is actually admitted that the Christ is the great prophet. And whatever he said in the scripture, he actually showing that he is the Christ. There are the eight blessings. When we listen to that, as a Christian, this is how we're going to live our life. But however, he is actually talking about himself. He said that all the one who is in, blessed are the one who are in the pain. And we cannot be the pain, we cannot really be generous and kind. But what Jesus was saying, in the God's kingdom, those are the blessed one is the one who can actually believe and follow Jesus Christ. Because Jesus himself is the one who really came as a fulfillment. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he was, through the God's Word, he was really prophesied, and then himself, the Word became the, had the flesh, and he came. So those who really believe in the Jesus Christ can actually receive the eternal life. John 5:24.
Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So this Christ who had been really prophesied throughout the Old Testament, whoever really believes in this Christ, he will be passed from death to life. That's eternal life. That's why that as a true prophet, he really came and then to open up the door. The spiritual restoration, eternal restoration, eternal life that was given to us. Those who believe in that will be saved, and then will the spirit will be restored. If it's not through Jesus Christ, then it's impossible for us to spiritually be restored. That's why, as the true prophet, we actually really believe in Christ, and we have to really receive that eternal life. And he really came as the true priest. The priest is the one who was born in the line, tribe of the Levi. Those who are really not specially selected by God. If you're the tribe of Levi, because automatically those people will become the priests. But in the Bible, there were the two things that are written. First, they are the ones who really offer the burnt sacrifice for the forgiveness, for forgiveness of the sins. And then he is the one who will offer, who give the prayer. If you go to Catholic church, then the priest will be, then when they pray, they will turn back. Then they will really give the prayer as a representing to God. So the pastor will do the two things. And they will really be talking, will be declaring the word of God, and then they will be the one praying for the people. But these two things are done by the priest. But then Jesus came. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wound you have been healed. Not through the priest. Jesus actually did the role of the priest. He himself offered to as a sacrifice. In Hebrew 10, and by that we will have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So it's not like you have to go back to the church and then have received the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the one who really just through the one time, and then he really became the sacrifice. Because he really took all our sins and then died on the cross. And he is really the one who actually did all the roles, three roles of that Jesus, of Christ. If you really look into John 17, for the sake of the disciples, for the sake of all the people who actually will be saved later on, he actually had the incessant prayer. So even now, the Jesus actually is praying for you, the incessant prayer. Those who will be really saved from now on will be the one, and then he is actually praying for that. Who can actually pray for you? Then I sometimes forget to pray for you, but God will never forget about you. Moment by moment, for the sake of you, he is actually praying for you. So that through you, the God's glory will be really revealed. And through you, all the people will really know about God. Then you will be really protected from the enemies, so that you can actually be oneness. You can have oneness with God. That is the priest. So Zechariah 9:9-17. So Jesus actually came to Jerusalem as the king. King? By the prophecy, then the tribe of Judah, and there will be the king, will be born. Who was the first king of Israel? Who was it? King Saul. Which tribe was he from? Who knows? The tribe of Benjamin. Wait. So the king should be coming from the tribe of the Judah, but not why he became the king? Because he was selected by people. Who was selected by God? The descendant of Judah was David. Because God's word is so accurate that from the tribe of Judah, the Messiah will be born. Descendant of David, Jesus will be born. Wait. Then all the smart person will realize this. But he is the priest, but the king also? It's impossible to be like that. How could be that Levi will be the tribe of Judah? Did you think about that? You're very smart. How is it possible for Jesus that he was actually born from the tribe of Judah? Then how did he actually, could he do the work of the tribe of Levi? Isn't it kind of fun, interesting? This is what this reasoning part you have to study. He actually came as the king. If you look at the kings from the Old Testament, and the king actually doesn't have the absolute power, because God will choose and then raise the king within the laws of God, and then king has to really play the role like a king. And then even the king will be judged by according to the righteous laws. But the kings from the north of Judah, they ignore the law of God completely, because they're saying that we will govern our country by ourselves. But these kings really died very miserably. Why? Because those kings' lives were actually in the hand of God. A few weeks ago, we actually had the message about the Josiah, how great that the decision of the God will be really great. So even the kings were actually should be really governing the people and the land according to the laws of God. If they ignore the righteousness of God, if they try to use the power of themselves, and then they're the ones who really destroyed first. And the same thing with Jesus. When he really came to this earth, he actually he just put all his authority that was given to him, because he came not to be served but to serve us. He really were at the very bottom. He was at the lowest place. He didn't really do anything all by himself. He really did everything for the sake of the God's will. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus actually showed all this work of the Holy Spirit. And he was actually doing the king, the role of the king. It's not his own authority. By the name of the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then he was actually governing the people given to him. That's what he was doing. Then Zechariah 9:9, then he is the righteous one. And humble and hounded on a donkey. So God is actually showing how to serve. So the king has to be humble to really be able to govern. It's not about the being just kind. Humble really means that he can actually give his life to his people. How did he actually overcome the power of Satan? He just didn't order Satan. That most Satan hated the most is that to believe in God. Obeying the God's word. That's what Satan hates the most. How did Jesus actually overcome Satan? Because he really completely, perfectly obeyed God's word. And how much he even took all the sins of ours, and for the sake of us, he actually gave up his life, and he died on the cross with the pain, and he completely overcame the power of Satan. Then that's why we call him true king, that Jesus Christ. He is humble. He had love to govern the people, his people. That is Jesus Christ. Then Genesis 3:15, I will put my enmity between you and your offspring and you and herds. The first and the greatest covenant and the gospel was actually fulfilled by Christ on the cross. After the resurrection, Matthew, in the heaven and earth I have received, all the authority had given to us after he resurrected. And as a true king, as the king of the God's kingdom, I will have all this authority to govern. We are the people of God's kingdom who can actually restore us. The Christ who really have all authority of heaven and earth. Because it's impossible for us to really have the restoration without Christ. That is the greatest present that is given to you on this earth from God. Then God is the one who still loves you even now. How can he govern you? Then if you don't really listen to him, then you'll be the problematic. By love of God, and then he will be governing you. Then the next question will be, why it was me that God really restored the spirituality. it's very important. Why God really gave us the spiritual restoration? You really have to believe. Because Christ really died for me. Jesus really finished everything on the cross for me. Do you believe? It's not for your family. It's for me. Not for that person. Not for the poor people. To really save me. To really make me to the God's children, God's child. And then that's why God really gave me the spiritual restoration. Those who really believe in this is the one who really believed in the God's word and then become a child of God. Romans 8, 1 to 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. To really set you free from the law of sin and death, you were actually saved. Spiritually, you are free as a child of God. You have to confirm that. You're free from the sin. You're free from the eternal death. Because the source of the blessing is actually indwelling in you. So this is the week of Hold Passion Week that you have to confirm this blessing. Romans 8, 4 to 6. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If you are really spiritually restored, you don't really have to go along with the flesh. Before, you are actually in the fame that you have no choice but to follow the worldly things and then get destroyed. But your spirituality has been really restored. You became the one to really follow the spirituality. When do you feel pain? When you really think about the physical things, that's when finances, health, child, family. If you really think about that, that's death. The thought of the Spirit, when you really think about the God's word, when you really pray and then think about God, when you really believe in God's promise, you'll be flourishing with the grace and the Spirit. And Pastor Xin actually asked you today, did you restore yourself spiritually? Moment by moment, you have to restore that. I'm not the one who will follow the physical things. If I really think about the spirituality, and then I'll be really flourishing all the grace and the covenant. Romans 8, 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We are children of God.
Those who are guided by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Those people who are really restore the relationship with God are the ones who really are led as the children of God. We are not really led by the spirit of slavery. We have really received the Spirit of God to really make us into the God's child. The God's child to really call God as the Abba Father. God really gave us the and restore the relationship to call him as Father. I don't know about your relationship with your biological father. Good relationship, bad relationship you may have. But the relationship with God is completely different. But don't use your own experiences to really build up the relationship with God. Because by the word of God, you can pray. So these things will not be taught by the world. You should really restore the true relationship as a child and the father. Because he said that if you really ask for it, I'll give you. Then if a child wants to have the bread, and who will give you the snake? But God loves you so much so that he actually gave up on his only son. So you are the older successor of all these blessings. You should be really like the child of God. You should ask to him. If you ask for him, and then he will come to you. Knock the door. You gotta seek it. You gotta find it. I will give that to you. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So if those who are really restored, so all these things are actually done, and there is the reason for this, to restoration. There was the God's absolute plan. We should really follow, and then everything will be the beneficial. I'm not saying that you can do whatever. You can actually do it can be good or bad, but you can actually have all the God's grace and try to do his will. Romans 8:37-39. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Greet to each other. You are the more conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Do you have the assurance for this? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spiritual restoration. If you're really spiritually restored, which means that you have really received these great blessings. And someone like us, there are the things that God really wants us to do. That someone who were really concerned. Then according to the church, then we have to really have the walk of faith. Who is the church? Not the church building, but church is the Jesus Christ. We should really have the walk of faith of Jesus Christ. And then in within the church building, that's what you're going to really take. We will see. Then the church is the place where the God is actually conquering as the priest, prophet, and king. Then that kind of God's kingdom, Zechariah 8. And indeed, because God is really governing us, and then here we'll have the courtyard of healing. So in the God's kingdom, there's no death, but rather it's... And then the Christ is the one who will be the head of the church. What is the God's kingdom? He said that my house is the place where you can pray. God's kingdom, the church, is the place where you can actually pray to give worship. Zechariah 8, that all the people will come, then they will pray. Seniors, you are not yet seniors, don't worry. The church officers, so that your prayer is powerful. The prayer of the elders, prayer of the senior deaconesses, prayer of the all these church leaders, will really have and will really full of the power and will be able to give all the strength and then hope to the next generations, and then you are the one who really have that. So when you really get along and then try to pray with them, and the Holy Spirit will be working upon them, then God's kingdom, all the next generations will come, and then he will actually have all this, so they can actually give worship. So it's not really all this frame, the child. Each one of them have really received the visions and the talent. So through whatever we are good at, we can actually glorify God. And that's what we call the God's church. Then actually, children have better faith. I sometimes make fun of Obadiah. First, I was just trying to give him something. Then I took that out. Obadiah, then he was having fun, actually. Because if I repeatedly do that, what will be imprinted? Then the adults will lie. And then no one will give me just without any problems. To get this potato, I have to be smart. Then he'll do the same thing to me. Then he'll say that cookie. Then he just pretend to give that to me, then he didn't give me. He was pure like that because of me. He was not pure. The same thing with church. Kids are very pure. And they just want to give that praise. They never feel that they are ashamed. They are really praising before God. How can they learn to be ashamed? They will really look at us and they will learn how, then they will be embarrassed. So you really have to restore like a kid.
So when we say the next generation, it's not really about the age. But you are all in the next generation. You really have to give the worship like the younger people. Like purely, you can just glorify God. And then the praise will be really through praise, and you guys can actually give a... And lastly, there was about the courtyard where the Gentiles will be gathering. And that is why he will really help. He will really give us the blessings and answers. And Seiyan Deaconess prayed, how can we really restore spiritually? Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of God to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. How can this church, myself, and my field will be really restored spiritually? Not by the programs, not by the all these ways, not by the power, not by might, not by just listening to someone. Only just by the word of God. So that's why we have to really pray. So you can actually meditate on the God's word. Why God really gave me the restoration, spiritual restoration. You can actually restore that covenant. And you can actually give a praise. And through the Easter service, and then you will be able to return as a children of God until the Messiah comes. Let's pray. So all the things are possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's grab hold onto the covenant and let's pray all together.